The easiest way to explain what we're experiencing right now across our planet is that we are being hunted by our own Western governments. Welcome to Brighton Broadcast News for Tuesday, February 27th, 2024. I'm Mike Adams. Thank you for joining me today. And the interview today is with Lyman Bishop, the founder of Hoplite Armor, about body armor, which probably we're all going to need given the invasion that's happening and the defunding of police. And oh my gosh, there's a new story out of Breitbart today, a book from Schweitzer that talks about how China is flooding the country with illegal weapons parts. Actually, I covered that story, Customs and Border Protection, years ago, talking about all the illegal silencers and the full auto sears, the gun parts that are shipped into the U.S. from China. But anyway, there's a new book out about that. We'll talk about that a little bit. But the bottom line is that you are being hunted now. And we need to think about big, big picture. And by the way, you can survive this, so don't take this all as doom and gloom. Yes, we are being hunted. All of us who are humans are being hunted. And the hunt has transitioned from a passive to an active stage. So let me talk about that here. But I do want to remind you, we can survive this. Most of the deaths that will occur on our planet during this depopulation democide phase will be the passive type of deaths. So let me talk about that first. So the passive deaths are really sort of self-induced deaths or government-assisted suicide. So a great example of that is these so-called vaccines. Now, in this government-assisted suicide, it's the governments using propaganda and censorship and, you know, fake science and so on to convince people to kill themselves. And there are multiple ways that that is being done right now, the vaccines being perhaps the most prominent way that that's being done. But there are other ways as well. And let me go through some of those and also let me back up for some context on that as well. When I first started in this whole industry of independent media, it was back in 2003, so over 20 years ago. And at the time, I was focused on food, just healthy food, right? And I also talked about dangerous food ingredients. One of the first little self-published booklets that I wrote was called Grocery Warning. It was really simple. That was back in like 2005, I think, maybe somewhere around there. And it just talked about the toxic ingredients in the grocery store, you know, partially hydrogenated oils, for example, and, you know, processed sugars and MSG, things like that, artificial toxic chemical sweeteners. But at the time, it never occurred to me, and perhaps it wasn't even happening, that the governments were actively trying to convince you to kill yourself. Now, certainly there were lots of ways that you could kill yourself. You know, you could kill yourself smoking cigarettes all day. You could kill yourself in an alcohol bottle. You could kill yourself with, you know, donuts and processed sugars and high fructose corn syrup and all kinds of things. There's lots of ways that people could kill themselves. But for most of what I remember in my lifetime anyway, the government wasn't actively trying to convince you to kill yourself. Even though, of course, more and more the government got corrupted by food industry and big ag and the pesticide corporations and so on. And so over time, the food supply became more and more toxic. But they weren't actively trying to get you to kill yourself until, I think, recently. I don't know if it's the last 5 years or 10 years or what, but there's been a transition, especially with COVID and the vaccines. The transition is now that the Western governments of the world are actively trying to convince you to consume things that will kill you. Now, that's vaccines, like I said, but it's also mass medications, SSRIs, antidepressant drugs that make you crazy and make you, you know, shoot yourself or shoot your spouse and then yourself or shoot up a local school, God forbid, that some people do when they're on antidepressants. You know, they promote violence, and that's one way that people kill themselves. And sometimes, sadly, they kill people around themselves because they're on those, you know, toxic, mind-altering, psychotropic drugs. But then there are also pesticides. So pesticide chemicals sprayed on the foods. Of course, this has been going on for a very long time. Really ramped up I don't know, in the 1960s, the 70s, let's say. Well, it was happening in the 50s as well. Pretty much the post-World War II era, the food has been poisoned systematically. But the EPA and the USDA, who regulate these toxins, they weren't so much in bed with industry until the last, let's say, 20 to 25 years. So it's only gotten worse because of regulatory capture. You know, Monsanto and glyphosate, and then atrazine, which is a gender bender herbicide that's found in all kinds of foods out there, as well as, of course, various pesticides and, you know, organophosphates. That's one category of pesticides that are especially toxic, and they alter your brain. They impair and inhibit cognitive function. So there's all of that. And then, of course, the toxic ingredients are still being put into the food supply. In addition to the pesticides, you've got heavy metals, you've got processed sugars, you've got mineral depletion of the food supply, making them give you calories but not nutrients, you see. Heavily processed foods are a kind of slow death sentence. So that's going on as well. And then don't forget the toxic personal care products. And this is the one that really still shocks me. How many people think they're living a healthy lifestyle and they think they're eating organic foods and doing healthy things. And then they load up on all this toxic fragrance. It's the skin lotions. It's the shampoo. It's the perfumes. It's the dryer sheets, the fabric softeners, and the laundry detergents. You know, I've ranted about this from time to time. It's completely insane. In fact, I have to have a policy in my studio when I'm doing Brighteon interviews with people in person. I have to send them a sheet of paper, well, sometimes it's an email, in advance to say, look, don't show up at my studio wearing fragrance chemicals or you will be shown the exit, because I'm not going to sit next to you and do an interview with you if I can't breathe. And I'm very sensitive. I can smell all your toxins. So go buy new laundry detergent if you have to. Get the fragrance out of your laundry. Get the fragrance out of your shampoo and your cosmetics and skincare and everything. Don't show up smelling like a bunch of synthetic chemicals. I won't do the interview, because I've had that happen before. Now, these toxic personal care products are killing people with all kinds of cancers, by the way. Horrible cancers. Oh, and I forgot to mention sodium nitrite in the food supply, which also promotes cancer, and that's in processed meat, right? It's a fixer. It's a color fixer. It turns processed meat kind of pinkish. It makes the packaged meats in the grocery store look fresh. You know, like the sandwich meat, the deli meat, the pepperoni, the sausage, the bacon, whatever. It makes it look fresh, but it causes cancer. It's horribly cancer-causing. Shouldn't even be legal in the food supply. It's insane that it is. But in that case, the USDA was captured by the food industry in, I believe, 1978. And that's when they grandfathered in, or thereabouts, sodium nitrite in meat products, even though they promote extreme cancer, including colon cancer, by the way. So there's all these toxic products that have only become a lot more toxic over the years. And oblivious consumers have always, of course, been able to slowly kill themselves with these products. But now governments are just pushing you into this, pushing you, oh, eat more pesticides, eat more herbicides, you know, take more vaccine jabs, take more pharmaceuticals. Oh, here, we'll pay for the jab for you. We'll give you processed food if you take a jab. Free processed food, you know, to add some diabetes to the cancer that you're going to get from the jab. It's insane. And then, oh, here's some cheap, you know, toxic personal care products that you can get at the dollar store. You know, you think the cosmetics at the dollar store are carefully formulated for your long-term health? No, they're made to be as cheap as possible. How do you think that is achieved? Cheap ingredients. I mean, this is not rocket science. But all of that is sort of the passive phase of killing humanity, with the vaccines being the biggest part of that lately, of course, trying to convince people to kill themselves, convince people to be injected with a depopulation bioweapon, which is what these COVID vaccines really are. They are biological weapons. They're designed to kill. They're designed to cause infertility and depopulation. And that's why all the studies keep coming out now. Oh, it destroys the immune system. It causes turbo cancer. You know, it causes autoimmune disorders. Yeah, it's designed to kill you. If it doesn't kill you and you only get paralyzed or only get cancer, you know, you're actually one of the lucky ones, because a lot of other people, millions, are dead. Maybe at some point here, coming soon, it might be tens of millions. Who knows? It might already be tens of millions. By some estimates, it's over 20 million people around the world, but it's hard to nail down accurate numbers, so we're just taking a guess. Well, Ed Dowd recently said, I think 33 million, was that what he said? Or 35 million, something like that, globally have been either killed or disabled by the vaccines. So tens of millions injured or dead. There you go. And Ed Dowd has very reliable numbers, so I trust those numbers. All right, now again, stepping back from this, this is all the passive phase. You, as an informed person, you can avoid being killed by not doing all those things that I just listed. And frankly, that's been a lot of what I've done over the last, well, 20 plus years, is just warning people, don't eat the toxins, don't put the toxins on your skin, don't get injected with the toxins, and so on and so forth. Just avoid all the toxins in the food, the supplements, the pharmaceuticals, everything. That's kind of been like my career, you could say, or my advocacy in a nutshell, is just stop killing yourself, okay? I guess if you were to encapsulate the history of what I've done over the last 20 years, it's just three words. It's stop killing yourself. Very simple. Stop killing yourself, okay? And for a lot of people, that message absolutely works, because you can make informed choices and you can avoid all those things that are killing you. Now, importantly, all those methods of depopulation are things that you can control. Understand? You can control them. So you can decide to eat organic, for example, and you can avoid pesticides. You can say no to the vaccine jabs. Now, I know a lot of people are going to say, well, they told me I had to take it if I wanted to get on an airplane. Well, don't get on the airplane. I mean, it's not like they held you down on the ground and jabbed you against your will violently. They convinced you to take the jab if you took it. You know what I mean? But you still gave them the okay. You still kind of caved in. Like, oh, I want to visit my elderly parent in a nursing home and they require vaccines, so I'm going to get the jab. Boom. There you go. Well, you consented to it, you see? But all these things are things that you can control. You can control what food you eat, what you're injected with. You can control what personal care products you choose to put on your skin. And most people poison themselves every day and then they die of cancer. And I'm not surprised, given what they put on their skin, given what they wash their hair with, given all the toxic stuff they wash their laundry in. I'm not surprised, but you can make a choice, and you probably have made a choice. If you've listened to my podcast for any length of time, you probably have a relatively clean lifestyle. And you also know about the power of detox. You probably drink extra water, for example. You might use, I don't know, chlorella or superfoods. You probably have more fruit fiber in your diet. You probably, you know, drink healthy smoothies or something. You probably do a lot of things to eliminate toxins out of your body, including just sweating, by the way, just walking and sweating or working out, having a good sweat, you know, even sauna treatments, things like that. Sweating is a form of detox, but so is having good fiber in your diet, fruit fibers and so on, good microalgae, good superfoods, you know, eating blueberries, for example. You can detox a lot of toxic substances through nutrition and lifestyle choices. So you are hard to kill, just like I'm hard to kill. We're hard to kill when the governments are engaged in passive democide. In other words, in stage one, where it's passive, you're not going to go along with that, because you're not gullible enough to commit vaccine-induced suicide, or to eat a bunch of toxic foods every day and kill yourself with your bad diet, or to take a bunch of pharmaceuticals every day and kill yourself with, you know, statin drugs or whatever the case may be. So you've avoided all that stuff, or let's say most of it. Well, guess what? the governments of the West are moving into phase two. Phase two is the active, kinetic phase, where you're going to be hunted or affected by things that you cannot control. What are those things? Or I should say you have very limited control. So let me just give one big example here. Nuclear war. Okay, they're trying to start World War III. They know that if they can release, you know, nuclear bombs all across the Northern Hemisphere, or at least in the US and Western Europe and maybe Ukraine and Russia, who knows? Well, they can kill off a lot of people. And there's really not that much that you can do about it. Although, of course, yeah, you could do iodine. You can have a lot of preparedness ready. You know, you can have extra food supplies. You can have water filters. I mean, yes, there are things you can do, but you can't stop the nuclear bombs from dropping. And you can't escape Earth and go to another planet while all the radiation settles down for the next 300 years. So you're going to be affected by it. Unlike pesticides, you can choose to avoid pesticides, or you can choose to avoid the vaccine. Nuclear war, you can't choose to not be impacted by it, okay? And that's just one example. Another example, the border invasion, which is bringing, of course, military-age males into the United States who will be activated and handed a bunch of weapons and a bunch of RPGs and mortars and so on, and told to go out and start killing Americans. That day is coming. We'll talk about that, I think, in a little more detail here. You can't stop that. I mean, we are trying to close the border. We're trying to control the border. And, you know, Governor Abbott of Texas is doing many things, and Ken Paxton is doing many things, the AG of Texas. And there's a lot of independent people like Michael Yon and Ann Vandersteel, and even Laura Loomer is out there now. She was in the Darien Gap recently documenting some of this. So there are a lot of people who are trying to do something. I'm trying to do something. And I support a lot of people who are doing something. But it's not enough because, of course, it's a flood of illegals that is enabled by the treasonous federal government run by an occupying illegitimate force, you know, the Biden regime, which was not elected, obviously, as Steve Bannon correctly states. So you can't stop the border invasion, not as an individual, which means you're going to have to find out how to live through that. When that purge comes, that activation, that big extermination order, where all the illegals are told to go out and start killing all the Americans and carrying out sabotage against the infrastructure, the power grid, the water supply, whatever, you're going to need to be resilient and prepared and have backup supplies or have the ability to defend yourself, maybe an AR-15, you know, maybe a pistol, maybe some extra ammo, maybe some radios, whatever, maybe some body armor. We're going to have an interview about that coming up here shortly. So there are lots of things that you can do, but you can't stop the main cause. Just like with nuclear war, there are lots of things you can do, but you can't stop the nukes. Okay. Another one, another big one, engineered famine. So famine is absolutely being engineered in order to take down much of the population of the Western world. They are shutting down food infrastructure through sabotage operations, you know, burning up the chicken farms, burning down the distribution centers, the meat plants, whatever. You've seen this. It's been going on for 2 years plus in America. Hundreds of food facilities have been burned down or burned up, I guess. Or I guess that it works both ways. They burn up first and then they fall down. So they burn down, and this is all by design. And food inflation is all by design. It's shutting down the farms and trying to destroy all cattle farming in Europe, for example, all by design. Why are they at war with the farmers in Spain, in the Netherlands, in Germany, in the UK? Why are the farmers, even in places like Poland now, like rising up against their own governments? Because the governments are shutting down the farms while Tyson is building a cricket insect plant, right? But they're shutting down the farms because this is engineered famine. Okay, this is another weapon of democide against the people. You are being hunted. We are being hunted. We're being hunted by our own democidal, or you could say genocidal, governments. But democide means death by government. So they are democidal regimes, and they are hunting us in order to exterminate us. And again, what's happening now is they're moving into the more direct kinetic phases, or phases where you can't control as much. Now, granted, on the engineered famine side of things, you can store extra food, of course, right? You can also learn to grow more food, and that's a very smart strategy. There are lots of things you can do to have more food sustainability and resilience or local redundancy. But you can't stop the overall engineered famine, and you also can't convince most people to grow any food or even to store any food. So even if you're well prepared, you know, 9 out of 10 people, if not more like 19 out of 20 or maybe 49 out of 50, are not going to do anything to grow food or to be prepared. And so many of them are going to die because, well, this is all being engineered. It's being engineered in order to achieve depopulation. So, you know, it's one thing for governments that give people a big scare story. Oh, there's a giant invisible virus that's going to kill you. Everybody line up and take a jab. And that worked for a lot of people who were really gullible. You know, they got the jab and then they die either immediately or over time. But then there's a whole group of people who say no to the jab. Well, they have to eat, right? So everybody has to eat. So the governments know that if they just suppress the food supply and destroy farms and destroy farmers and make food very, very expensive and start outlawing beef and things like that, then they know they can cause engineered famine and they can kill off a lot of people who resisted the vaccine lies. So food scarcity, you could say, is a weapon of mass destruction. Geoengineering is a weapon of mass destruction. Weather control systems are designed to cause crop failures and, of course, you know, to interdict the supply chain of affordable food. And that's why you're seeing so much crazy weather lately. I understand some severe weather is about to hit those of you in eastern Illinois and Indiana. You're going to get some crazy tornadoes later today, so hope you're ready for that. I hope you're safe. But other sort of area effect weapons or weapons of mass destruction are, of course, the defunding of police and the unleashing of violent criminals back onto the streets. And George Soros, of course, funded district attorneys all across America and told them that as a condition of supporting them, you have to let violent criminals back out on the streets and do not charge them. Because the idea, the purpose is to cause mass chaos and violence and death. That's the agenda. And those DAs took the money and said, yeah, I'll do whatever you want. We'll let all the violent criminals out on the streets. We'll only prosecute conservatives for nonviolent crimes. You know, for standing somewhere near the Capitol building on January 6th, for example, even though it's supposed to be, you know, a government of the people, by the people, and for the people. But apparently you can't ever visit the Capitol building without being arrested. So this phase that I'm talking about, these are large-scale weapon systems such as geoengineering or food industry sabotage or the invasion of your country and occupation with illegals and defunding police and causing social chaos and so on. These are all area effect weapons that are designed to achieve depopulation and to take control away from you, to essentially turn your nation into a war zone. The globalists hope to then achieve, you know, maximum casualties and chaos through all of this. But this is not the final phase. Remember I said you're being hunted. Now here's where that's going to start to make a lot of sense. You're about to be hunted in the years ahead. It may not even be very far away, maybe a year away or 2 years. You're about to be hunted by Terminator drones and AI robot dogs that are armed with rifles or carrying explosives, and these will be deployed against you by your own government. So if you're listening from any Western government, you know, Western Europe, the US, Canada, Australia, New Zealand, even potentially Taiwan and Japan, you know, pretty much all the nations that are together with the US and are trying to still dominate the world. If you live in any of those countries, you are about to be hunted by your own government in the next few years. Yes, you resisted the vaccine. You were able to stay out of the death camps in New Zealand. They didn't kill you with the antidepressant drugs yet. They haven't killed you with the pesticides in the food supply or all the toxic cancer-causing chemicals in the laundry detergents because you've avoided all those landmines, right? Now, or coming up, they're going to declare war on you and unleash a Terminator army of robots, some of them flying robots, some of them walking robots with four legs, and eventually robots with two legs, bipedal robots, but that's actually later. The first Terminators will be four legs. Well, I should back up. The very first Terminators will be in the air. Those will be the drones that are already being augmented with AI right now, and they will be turned against you. Your own government will declare war on you, and they will unleash these Terminator drones to kill you. It's very clear. I mean, you see how the Pentagon has already turned against America. Its leaders are traitors. They're already purging all patriots out of the military. They've been doing that for a long time. And they're recruiting illegals to be the soldiers. So they want non-American citizens to run the entire U.S. military so that they will carry out orders to attack and kill Americans. And ultimately, the Americans will then be replaced with many of those same illegals. But they will have AI Terminator drones that will be targeting you. Now, you notice recently in the media, the Western nations, NATO in particular, said that they're going to give Ukraine 1 million drones. This is a cover story to try to explain away why Western nations are building massive AI robot drone factories and programming them to kill human beings. Okay. The cover story is we're going to give all these drones to Ukraine, and Ukraine's going to use them to defeat Russia, and this is how we're going to win the war and finally, you know, set Ukraine free, right? Which is laughable, since the leader of Ukraine is one of the worst authoritarian tyrants on the planet these days, right? I mean, they don't even have elections allowed. I mean, it's completely unconstitutional, completely illegal, but, you know, they've lost the rule of law in Ukraine. Anyway, that's beside the point. They're going to build AI Terminator drone factories across Western nations. They're going to tell you that this is all about giving them to Ukraine to defeat Russia, but it's really about building AI Terminator drones that will be unleashed against you. You will be targeted for termination. And then later it'll be the robot dogs. And then later on after that, it'll be the robot bipedal Terminators, like right out of the movie Terminator. This is what's coming. They will be hunting you down and trying to kill you. It's just that, you see, they wanted the easy kills first. They needed more robotics technology to catch up. They needed AI to catch up, and they needed drone technology to become more advanced. But they're there now. They've got that. But they wanted to kill off the easy people first. And who are the easy people for the world governments to kill? It's the people who are willing to kill themselves. You know, the vaccine worshipers, right? The pesticide munchers, the people who live toxic lives, who kill themselves every day with all their laundry detergent garbage and all their medications and, you know, just everything that kills you. Now that that has largely run its course, they're moving into the area effect weapons, you know, geoengineering, engineered famine, nuclear fallout, and then ultimately one-on-one Terminator death squads. And they will hunt you down, or they will attempt to. They will hunt you down and exterminate you. And this is what every Western government is on course to do. And the way we know this, by the way, is that if they cared about protecting your lives, number one, they wouldn't have built a biological weapon and unleashed it upon you. They did that during COVID. Think about it. The DOD built the weapon, sent it over to China at the Wuhan lab and said, hey, make it even more deadly. And they said, sure. And so they made it even more deadly into like deadly particles. And they dropped these particles on New York City. And then in the panic caused by that, they told everybody, go get a local vaccine jab. But that had been engineered as another biological weapon. That was the real weapon. The actual so-called SARS-CoV-2 wasn't spreading. What what started spreading was the shedding from the vaccines. They turned human beings into the spike protein factories that were churning out the bioweapons through their own skin. So people became the bioweapons, and the vaccines were the inoculations that transformed them into the bioweapons. And they used the fake plandemic scare stories to scare people into the pharmacies to get the jabs. You see how it all worked. Very simple. So if your government cared about keeping you alive, they wouldn't have unleashed a bioweapon on you. They wouldn't have pushed all the censorship to censor the truth about ivermectin, for example, which could have saved millions of lives. Why were they censoring things that could have helped? Why was every doctor and hospital in every Western country told to murder patients with ventilators and not give them ivermectin and not prescribe hydroxychloroquine and not use zinc or vitamin C or vitamin D or any of the other things, quercetin, the things that are well documented to work? Why were they told not to use that? Because they want you to die. Understand, this is not complicated. If your government was trying to keep you alive, they wouldn't have approved all the toxins, all the herbicides and pesticides and chemicals in the food supply, for God's sake. If they were trying to keep you alive, they wouldn't have the FDA attacking all the nutritional supplements that protect you against disease and degenerative conditions. I mean, everything that the Western governments do is designed to kill you. You can't even really name an example of anything that the FDA or the CDC or the USDA or any of them do to help people stay alive. Can you think of one? Can you think of one example? Any one thing that the FDA has done recently, you know, some significant thing that is designed to help people live longer and healthier? No, there's not one thing. Everything they do is designed to kill you. You know, approving experimental jabs that haven't even gone through clinical trials, emergency use authorization that turns human beings into walking bioweapons factories, that's what they approved because they want you dead. Same thing's true for the government of the UK. Every government in the EU, it's the same. It's the same. I'm sorry, you. If you're listening from the EU and you think your government loves you, yeah, give me a break. You need to check on that because they're actually trying to kill you. Now, when all these weapons of mass destruction still don't kill you, because by definition, if you're listening to this, remember, you're hard to kill, then that's when ultimately, and this may be a few years down the road, but they will unleash the Terminators to hunt you down and exterminate you. You can imagine if the Biden regime is still in power when this happens, or the Democrat globalists, they will target conservatives. They'll target rural Americans. No question about it. They want to mass murder anybody who might support, you know, a conservative candidate, let's say. Now, as we see the rise of AI targeting systems on drones, that should concern you because that will be turned against humanity. As we see, you know, robot terminators on the battlefield, that should concern you. All of it's going to be weaponized in order to exterminate humanity, but especially in Western nations. So when I said years ago that you need to learn how to kill a Google robot, and at the time Google was focused on these humanoid robots, what I was referring to was the Terminator scenario where humanity must eliminate machines because we're in an apocalyptic war where we're being hunted down and destroyed, almost like a science fiction movie, and you're going to have to learn to kill robots in order to survive. And I do believe that that day is coming. It's not here at the moment, but that day is coming. Every system, every technology that has ever been developed has been weaponized against humanity. Think about it, you know, the TV, the radio, the internet, and now AI. The good news in this is that Western governments have become so corrupt and so woke that they're really horrible at making weapon systems that work. And by the way, for our first news item today, an M1 Abrams tank has been destroyed by Russia. And this tank, well, let's back up. So when the West was promising that Ukraine would defeat Russia, Western countries said, oh, we'll supply M1 Abrams tanks. This will be a game changer. And the tanks will just wipe out Russia. They will just completely defeat Russia. And so they provided some tanks, but they provided them with special instructions, which were, hey, don't put these on the front lines because we don't want to see any of them actually get hit and destroyed, you know? So don't use them. I mean, you can have these tanks, just don't use them. Now, what you need to understand about M1 Abrams tanks is that these tanks are largely considered to be a joke by Russia. Now, the M1 Abrams is General Dynamics, and they've been making these tanks for, I don't know, a few decades. The tanks are designed by retarded woke engineers. And the way we know this is because they put a turbine engine in it instead of a diesel engine. Now, normally, you'd want to put a diesel engine in a tank because you could work on it with diesel engine tools and you could power it with the same diesel fuel that you have on the battlefield, you know. And you could idle it at very low RPMs and not burn a lot of fuel and not have a big heat signature when you didn't need to fire it up and you know, zoom down the field or whatever. But General Dynamics won the contract to put a gas turbine engine in these tanks. And so it's kind of like a jet engine. It's a turbine engine. It's got a giant turbine in it, you know, high RPM spinning like a jet engine, which is insane to put in a tank because, well, you know, when you're close to the ground, there's a lot of dust and particles and things. And when those get into the turbine blades, guess what happens? They shred themselves. Yeah. So you have like self-exploding turbine systems in these tanks. And yeah, not good. I mean, jet engines work great on jets when you're flying around in the air off the ground, obviously, and there shouldn't be a lot of, you know, particles and dust, hopefully at, you know, 39,000 feet or whatever. But on the ground, it's a nightmare. So diesel engines are a lot more reliable, but General Dynamics wanted to put a gas turbine engine in this, and it's designed to run on jet fuel. Now, I understand it can burn diesel in a pinch with some alterations, but normally it wants to run on jet fuel. So now you got to give jet fuel. You got to somehow have logistics to bring all this jet fuel to the front lines, even though you don't have any jets, which is just, it's insane, right? And then the other thing is these turbine engines, they have to run at high RPMs all the time. You can't really just idle them down like a gasoline engine or a diesel engine. You got to run them hard all the time. Even if you're idling your tank, you're not moving, you're not in combat, you're just sitting there. These turbines have to run at sufficient RPMs to keep the whole process going, you know, to keep the combustion going. And as such, they burn through fuel like mad. These M1 Abrams tanks are known to be like fuel hogs like nothing else on the battlefield. They suck down more fuel than any other military vehicle on the planet. And it's the kind of fuel, jet fuel, typically, that is hard to get on the front lines of battle. So there's that. And then on top of that, because they're constantly running, they're producing a tremendous amount of heat. So from any kind of a thermal imaging, even satellite imaging, you know, Russian satellites can just look down at the battlefield and every M1 Abrams tank lights up like a lighthouse on thermal imaging. It's like, you know, a giant plume of heat coming out of the back of the tank. Why is that? Because someone put a freaking jet engine in a tank and you can't idle it down to low RPMs because that's not the way jet engines work, by the way. Doesn't work that way. You got to keep it running. So it's producing all this heat, which makes it an easy target for missiles that have thermal sensors on them. In other words, Russian missile systems that target tanks, you know, missiles that are launched from the, what are they called? The KA-52, the helicopters, are they called alligator helicopters, whatever they're called in the Russian military? The KA-52s, they can take out M1 Abrams tanks like it was nothing. And they've already destroyed plenty of Leopard 2 tanks, and they can easily destroy the UK Challenger tanks. But these M1 Abrams are just like announcing themselves. It's like a giant beacon on the battlefield, especially at night. The thermal image is just screaming out. It's like, shoot me, shoot me, shoot me. And eventually, Russia did shoot one. So here's a story out of RT. Ukraine's Abrams tanks burn just like any others, says the Kremlin. The first U.S.-supplied Ukrainian M1 Abrams tank has been destroyed in the conflict, and the Kremlin spokesperson Dmitry Peskov said that any weapons the West supplies to Kiev, quote, will burn, and the M1 Abrams tanks are no exceptions. This vehicle was reportedly destroyed near the village of Berdychi, maybe that's how it's pronounced, located to the northwest of Avdiivka, a key Donbass town just liberated by the Russian military. So Peskov said, quote, from the very beginning, our soldiers said that these tanks would burn just like any others. And you and I know from the daily reports of the Ministry of Defense, this is the daily systemic, professional, and dedicated work of our military who are, quote, demilitarizing Ukraine. Okay, anyway, that's just, you know, Russian propaganda right there. It's like a little cheerleading for his own team right there. But the point is that 31 M1 Abrams tanks were pledged to Kiev by the U.S. in January of 2022. And apparently, I'm not sure if all these tanks have made it to Kiev, but now the first one has been destroyed, and it's because they probably just pushed it a little bit too close to the front lines, you know, instead of holding them back as they were instructed. Like, here's a bunch of tanks, but don't use them because, you know, we don't want to see them get destroyed. I'm sure that Russia is just looking at these giant heat plumes and thinking, man, this is almost too easy. Oh, this tank was hit by a drone, by the way. Not even a Ka-52 missile system or anything. This was hit by a drone, reportedly. And there's videos and photos of the tank's engine compartment and munitions compartment on fire and burning out. And pretty much that's it. Just remember, as you're thinking about this, Russia builds weapons that are designed to be effective in actual war. America builds weapons that are designed to look good on brochures so they can sell them to other nations like Saudi Arabia, you know, or India or Turkey or whoever. Actually, Turkey makes probably better equipment itself at this point. So American-made equipment is, you know, it's really designed to give kickbacks to powerful corporations that provide basically, you know, campaign finance bribes to Congress. And so they're given the contracts. Oh, here's a, you know, $300 million contract. To do what, sir? Put jet engines in tanks. Why, sir? Why would we do that? Because we're getting paid. Just do it. Follow orders, soldier. You know, that's the way it goes. And then they distribute the money. A bunch of kickbacks go to a bunch of members of Congress and all their family members and all their little research departments with their, you know, cousins and brothers and sisters and whatever. And it's all about a racket. It's distributing money to everybody while building a weapon that doesn't really work. Now, granted, M1 Abrams tanks look pretty awesome if you're fighting a bunch of goat herders. But if you're fighting another military, like a straight up real military, like Russia's military, game over. It doesn't work that well. All right, let's move on to something happening domestically in the United States. This article comes out of Breitbart, the Zionist publication, by the way. It's called Blood Money. Leaked U.S. federal law enforcement documents reveal how China is secretly arming American criminals with machine guns. This is a new book by Breitbart News senior contributor Peter Schweitzer. Now, Schweitzer has put out some really solid books, by the way. And this book documents something that I've reported many times over the last couple of years. You've probably heard me talk about it. But let me read a couple of paragraphs from the story so you get the gist of this. The communist Chinese government has been flooding the United States with illicit gun parts as part of a disintegration warfare strategy it is employing against America, aimed at tearing the country apart from the inside, according to a blockbuster new book by Peter Schweitzer. In this book, Blood Money, Schweitzer reveals how Chinese companies, which are heavily regulated by the Chinese government, are flooding the U.S. with auto sear switches. That's for firearms. A small metal device also known as Glock switches that can convert handguns into machine guns. They are illegal for most gun owners in the U.S., but are being shipped in boxes by the thousands from China, Schweitzer revealed. As with fentanyl, the Chinese government is sending the auto sear switches to sow chaos and death inside the U.S. as part of a disintegration warfare strategy, according to Schweitzer. Now, just to back up, we've covered the fact that China has shipped in enormous quantities of illegal suppressors, by the way, you know, silencers, as they're sometimes called. Some of these have been intercepted by Customs and Border Protection, CBP, and they've actually publicized some photographs like, look at all the silencers we, you know, interdicted here. They're shipped into the United States with labels like, you know, machine parts and things like that, hydraulic parts, you know, because there is a lot of stuff coming from China that probably is cylindrical and metal and so on, right? So I would imagine that they have a pretty high success rate of sneaking this stuff through, and we probably only interdict a very small percentage of what's actually arriving. But the other thing that they're shipping, oh, I forgot to tell you, there used to be websites. I don't know what they are. I remember covering this in a previous news story, but there used to be websites that sold suppressors online, like in America, with a credit card. I mean, how crazy is that? Like, they would ship them to you. Now, look, I love the idea of suppressors being made legal nationwide, because I think they're really good for training purposes. I mean, they protect your hearing, they protect your neighbors, and you know, it's a lot more polite to shoot with a suppressor. I mean, I own suppressors, but they're, of course, you know, approved by the ATF. I've got, you know, all the tax stamps and all the paperwork and did all the fingerprinting and all that stuff, right? So, yeah, I own suppressors, but I own them legally. I don't have illegal parts or illegal weapons. But there was a time where you could just go online to some website. I'm sure it's long since shut down, by the way, so don't bother, you know, don't go out searching for one of these, because it might raise some red flags. But you used to be able to go on a website and just order suppressors with a credit card to have them shipped to you. Now, you would imagine that that's also stupid, because the ATF would just go to the credit card companies and say, hey, you know, give me the list of all the customers that bought from this merchant. And the credit card companies would say, sir, yes, sir. And they would send over the list. And then the ATF would probably just go to all those people's homes like, hey, did you know that you have an illegal suppressor? You know, don't know what you're talking about. You know, you can imagine how those conversations go. But I would imagine the ATF is probably running around the country trying to reacquire these things. Who knows? The point is, no matter what the ATF tries to do, China is flooding America with these illegal parts. And it's not just suppressors. It's also the Glock, what do they call them? The switches? Glock switches? Yeah, Glock switches. Apparently, now, of course, I've never done this, so I don't know exactly how they work, but apparently there's something you can drop into a Glock that allows the Glock to function in full auto mode. And I'm seeing photos from this Breitbart story, and it's something that kind of, it looks like it kind of sticks out from the end of the Glock a little bit. So it goes on the end. All right. Well, there's a plate there, by the way, that is part of the upper slide. I mean, I'm very familiar with Glocks because I disassemble them and clean them, obviously. But this is something extra that goes on the end of this plate, or maybe it replaces it, whatever. It's an illegal item, and it turns your handgun into a full auto handgun. Now, those of you like myself who are trained in firearms, you know, firearm skills and firearm safety and so on, you would be laughing. You don't want a full auto handgun. I mean, handguns are hard enough to control already. In fact, they're the hardest to control. But would I want a full auto Glock? No, please no, because number one, I mean, your magazine would be gone in, you know, 1 second, and then what? You're going to have to carry a lot of ammo, I guess. but you have no accuracy. See, like myself and the guys that I train with, we put rounds, for the most part, where we want them to go, especially with rifles, right? Easy to control. Even moving and running and so on, if you train enough, you can put rounds where you want them, even while moving. Not so much with a handgun. I mean, I'm really good with a rifle. Handguns, I still would rather get to the rifle. You know what I'm saying? That's the whole point of the handgun, is to get to the rifle. But for, you know, gangsters in a city who just want to spray lead all over the place, this is perfect for them. You know, they can go buy an oversized Glock magazine that sticks out of the bottom of a Glock 19 or something, or a Glock 17, let's say, like a 30 round 9mm magazine that's like crazy long, looks like a giant stick sticking out of the bottom of the Glock, and they can put these Glock switches on it, and they can just, you know, spray and pray, just hold the trigger down, or, you know, pull the trigger and hold it, and it just goes brrrr, like that. And you can imagine that pistol is just hopping mad all over the place in your hand. Like, it's going to be hard to aim. It's not like, I can't think of anybody on a SWAT team. I can't think of any soldier. I can't think of any cop that would want a full auto pistol. It's the thought of it is just frightening. It's like, oh my God, it's hard enough to control my bullets. Even when I'm pressing the trigger, right? And having it full auto is just a nightmare. But for a criminal that wants to fire into a crowd, or to fire into a house, or to fire into, you know, God forbid, like a movie theater or a mall or a cafe or something, you know, some kind of terrorist type of activity. Oh my God, it's perfect for them. They don't care who they hit. They're not picking their targets. They're not putting rounds where they want them. And, you know, the fourth rule of handgun safety, you know what that is? The fourth rule is always know what's behind your target. Because you're shooting at one thing, but what if you slightly miss and your round goes over that target or slightly to the side of that target? What's behind your intended target? Like, this is a rule that a lot of cops need to maybe reinforce. Like, hey, why are you shooting up that Trader Joe's in the distance there when you're trying to get this perp? You know, you just shot out the entire Trader Joe's and you killed the manager. That happened in California. So cops, they remember this rule, but for a bad guy or for a terrorist, they don't care where the rounds go. They want maximum carnage. So these Glock switches are perfect for that use. If you want to just spray and cause massive carnage in the least amount of time and, you know, kill a whole crowd of people, well, these illegal drop-in Glock Sears, not made by Glock, just to be clear, they're, I don't know who makes them. I guess China makes them. These can turn a legal firearm into an illegal weapon of mass destruction, you see? And that's what China is trying to do. That's the whole point of this book, is that China is sending in these devices. It's not just the Glock switches, but it's also suppressors. It's also, by the way, drop-in auto sears for AK-47s and AR-15s. So rifle, you know, to make your rifle full auto, also completely illegal under current federal laws, obviously. But China wants to flood our streets with all these items so that the criminal element, you know, when the chaos really gets out of control, the criminal element can outgun the police, which won't be difficult to do. Because again, you know, police are concerned about where their rounds go. Criminals don't care. It's not their responsibility. They're trying to kill as many people as possible. Also, the cops don't have full auto rifles. Because that's not, I mean, there might be a few exceptions to this somewhere in the country. I don't know, but all the cops I've ever trained with and all the cops that I know, none of them have full auto rifles because it's not a freaking war zone. It's not supposed to be in America. It's all semi-auto, you know, one squeeze, one round, because you don't want cops going full auto. Let me tell you, talk about lawsuits against your city or, you know, your county or your state, whatever. You don't want to hand out a bunch of full auto rifles to a bunch of men and women in blue, especially some of those men and women in blue. They need a lot more range time anyway in semi-auto mode. You know what I'm saying? So the cops don't have full auto. Thank God. The violent criminals will. They will. And Matt Bracken has been tweeting out a bunch of pictures of a 20-foot container shipped in from China. And I think he says a 20-foot container, I forgot the number. I think he says it holds like 2,500 AK-47s or something like that, a couple thousand rifles in one 20-foot container. So there's a point where just the flooding of America with all this weaponry, combined with the idea that there's going to be a purge day, an activation day, where all the illegals, including all these young military-age males from China that are flooding in through Panama for some reason, right? They're all coming in through the Darien Gap, and they're coming in through the San Vicente camp in Panama, flooding into the United States and then awaiting orders from the CCP. And this is what the rest of us are going to have to deal with, is America being turned into a war zone. There's a chaos element, which is the criminals going crazy. And there is an invasion element, which is the foreign enemy combatants being activated in America. And then if we survive that, then there's the government democide and the Terminator AI drones and the suicide squirrels, Terminator suicide squirrels, like little four-legged robot drones that have small explosive charges on them, and they hunt down humans and detonate. And then on top of that, eventually the bipedal Terminator robots, like from the science fiction movie series. So there are multiple waves of attacks coming to try to wipe out the American people. And why is all this being lined up? Because the globalists need to destroy America, and especially they need to crush the Constitution, the First Amendment, the Second Amendment, and the American spirit. Now, I think they'll fail. I think they will fail because the American spirit, the real America, kicks ass. You know, I know I complain about woke America, and I complain about the corruption and the treason, but after we break through all that nonsense and rise to the occasion, the real American spirit, I'm talking about the hardcore patriotic veterans and, you know, law enforcement, active duty and retired, the SWAT members that know what they're doing, you know, with firearms and so on. And also just the private citizens who have trained in firearms, who like myself, who've, you know, taken many, many courses and thousands of hours of training and practice and deploying weapon systems for self-defense purposes. There are, you know, millions of people like me all across America who know how to handle firearms. And whoever attacks America is going to be dealing with a nightmare scenario on their hands once the American people wake up and assert their right to self-defense. Okay? That's where this is going. But in the meantime, the United States of America, CONUS, will be an active war zone. And there will be multiple parties trying to kill you. Maybe communist Chinese provocateurs, maybe Antifa, maybe your own government unleashing drones against you. Maybe the Pentagon is trying to kill you. You know, maybe Russia is trying to nuke you. Who knows? I mean, you're going to be hunted. And surviving all this is going to take some smarts here. So number one, get to the right place, right? Don't be in a blue city. Don't be in a state, if you can help it, that's run by liberals, right? Get to a red state, a red county. Make sure you're well prepared, have extra supplies, you know, the whole drill, all that. Stock up on things. And make sure you have the appropriate gear, which is why I'm featuring the interview today with Lyman Bishop from Hoplite Armor. Now, along those points, by the way, we now carry Hoplite Armor products at healthrangerstore.com. So if you just go to our store, you can search for armor and you can find the ballistic armor made by Hoplite, which is designed and manufactured in the United States of America. So this is promoting our domestic infrastructure. So you're going to enjoy that interview. I do want to plug a couple other companies that I think are worth mentioning. Shieldarms.com. And they have given me some prototype pistols for testing. Glock 43X that I carry is from them. They honor the coupon code, I think, Ranger. I think you can get 10% off everything on their website. but they have the folding AR-15s and they have custom Glocks. And personally, I really like the Glock 43X because it's very narrow. It's easy to carry concealed and it fits in my hand nicely. I ended up liking it better than the Glock 19, by the way. And I like it better than the SIGs at the moment too, because I carried a SIG P320 for a number of years. And then I got concerned about the SIGs firing themselves, which has actually happened to some cops, by the way. Whereas the Glock has an extra safety on the trigger itself. It's a passive safety, but it's another safety. So anyway, I like the Glock 43X. That's what I carry at the moment. I don't use red dot sights on it because I like iron sights. That's what I've always trained with, and that's what I'm effective with. And I don't want my pistol to have batteries on it. Okay, I don't like optics on pistols. That's just me. I do use optics on rifles, but not on pistols, because it's just too much to worry about. And I'm often wearing a headlight at night, by the way. So I have a light on my head. And then if you try to have like a red dot optic on a pistol with a headlight, all you get is a giant glare in your face and it doesn't work. So forget that. Anyway, shieldarms.com is where you can get that. Also, the best holsters are from 1791 Gun Leather. And these are the holsters that you can, you put them in a plastic bag and you put them in hot water. You heat the water up to 165 degrees, I believe. Yeah, check the instructions. These are called like ultra custom holsters. And then you pull it out of the bag, out of the water. You put your unloaded pistol into it and you kind of mold it around your pistol. So anyway, check the instructions. These are great. This is what I use now. It's a holster that's moldable to your firearm. And it works with almost every type of firearm that you can imagine. They sell, I don't know, like 5 or 6 different sizes of holsters, and that's it. Works for everything. Every firearm, every brand, every pistol that you can imagine. So that's 1791gunleather.com. And I don't think they have a coupon code, but you can always try Ranger, because that's the one that I ask everybody to use. If they want to offer discounts to our audience, I just say, activate code Ranger. So who knows? Maybe it works. Maybe it doesn't. And then last thing to mention, last plug before we get to the interview, don't forget about the Dawson knives that we have. I worked with Dawson Knives out of Arizona to do a custom line of knives. We have Escape from LA. We have our bushcrafting knife. These are made with MagnaCut, which is highly corrosion resistant. I've given away a bunch of these knives, by the way, to some operators, some that work on the Texas border, and they love these knives. These are just life-saving knives. G10 handles, MagnaCut alloy steel, which is incredible. Space age technology. This steel holds an edge, high Rockwell hardness, but it also bends without shattering. It maintains sharpness. It's incredible. And it doesn't rust. I mean, what's not to like, right? Well, they're expensive. I mean, these aren't cheap knives, okay? This is not like a $39 knife on Amazon.com. These knives cost a few $100. You buy them once, lasts a lifetime. They're the best gifts also for dads on Father's Day and things like that. I mean, if you want to give somebody something that they absolutely honor, give them one of these knives. It'll just blow their mind, especially if they're a guy. Seriously. Anyway, okay, so that's some of the gear that may help you navigate all this stuff that's coming. And we need to get serious about this because, look, we are being hunted. We're going to be hunted in more sophisticated ways from here forward, until the global cabal is defeated. That's really what it comes down to. I think they will be defeated, by the way. I don't know when that's going to happen. I don't know how many humans die in the meantime. I think we'll lose about a quarter of the current human population on our planet before we stop them. That's just my guess. So about 2 billion people. I know, it's a crazy huge number. But they're trying to kill us all, and I think they'll fail. And I think they're especially going to fail the more that we can spread the word about this and help people get prepared. Now, understand, I'm talking about defensive posture here. I'm not talking about, arming up and going out and hitting something. No, I'm saying be prepared for your country to be invaded. Be prepared for terrorists to be activated in your country. Be prepared for sabotage of the infrastructure. Be prepared for individual terrorists to try to kill you and try to shoot you or what have you. Be prepared for them to try to overrun, you know, your neighborhood or your city or town or country. All these scenarios are within the realm of very realistic possibilities. And that's why I think we need to be fully prepared and, you know, well-armed and have some backup ammunition and all these other things that I talk about, okay? So that's where we are. Oh, and by the way, it's being reported that the Houthis have now cut internet cables near the Red Sea there. Isn't that interesting? They're cutting internet cables under the ocean. So apparently the Houthis have divers or something now, or maybe they have submarines. I don't know. Pretty sophisticated. They're taking out ships, man. They've got missiles. They've got like ocean drones and they're cutting cables. I mean, wow. These Houthis are really angering the Western allies, aren't they? They're angering Israel. They're angering the U.S. This is really something to watch for such a small country that, by the way, has very high firearms ownership, second highest in the world, the first being the United States. But for Yemen being such a small country, they sure are, you know, pissing off a lot of powerful nations right now. That's pretty wild. I wonder where that's going. But the bottom line is, you know, chaos is here. It's only going to get worse. So be ready. Be ready because we're being hunted. We can survive. I do want to wrap up with that. We can survive. This is not doom and gloom. We need to be resilient. We need to grow food. We need to, you know, reach out to some local community members and be willing to support each other and have good comms and have, you know, good self-reliance plans and teach skills and share skills and all that. And that will do a lot for you. In fact, let me see if this website is up yet. Oh, it is up. Brighteon.ai. Huh. I didn't know that my staff got this up, but this is where you can register to receive the free download of our AI system called Neo. And I've put on here that it arrives early April 2024. It may be the end of March. We're kind of on track, but we'll see. Anyway, you can enter your email address there and subscribe to be alerted when we have the model available, and you'll be able to download this large language model for free. It's an open source model. You'll be able to run it with software on your computer. You can download something called LM Studio, which is Language Model Studio. You can run it for free and you'll be able to run our model through that software and you'll be able to ask it all kinds of questions about growing food or, you know, making natural medicine or using herbs or off-grid medicine. And this tool will work offline. That's the number one reason, really, why I'm giving this away for free is so that you can use it offline. You don't have to have a working internet because, you know, the kill switch, nuclear war, who knows what, power grid failures, I don't know. You don't have to have functioning internet. And I don't think that people should spy on you for the questions that you're asking the language model. You might want to ask it something that, you know, you don't want to be spied on about. I don't know. So anyway, sign up there at brighteon.ai. I'm not 100% sure that, well, actually, let me just try it. Let me see if the form works. See what it says. Oh, it says I'm subscribed. Okay, well, maybe it's all working now. Anyway, check it out. Enter your email address there if you want to subscribe, and you'll be alerted to the download. Okay. With that said, let's jump into the interview with Lyman Bishop from Hoplite Armor. Enjoy. You'll learn a lot. I'll be back with you tomorrow. Welcome to today's interview on Brighteon.com. I'm Mike Adams. Thank you for joining me today. We've got a pretty big announcement here to share with you in conjunction with Hoplite Armor, and we have the founder of Hoplite Armor, which is an American-designed, American-made body armor company. His name is Lyman Bishop, and he's a mechanical engineer by trade, and he's designed some amazing, lightweight, but highly effective body armor products for everyday people. So, Mr. Bishop, welcome to the show. Thank you for joining me today.
Thank you very much, Mike. It's always a pleasure to be on your program.
Well, it's great to have you here today. Thank you for taking the time. And I got to say, starting out, that I've heard feedback from a lot of our viewers who feel a lot safer now that they have your body armor. I mean, it's not like they're wearing it around every day, but I mean, they know that if something crazy happens, they can get to it, they can put it on, they can make themselves safer, and we live in a more lawless society today. But I would ask you the first question, are you hearing from people that this is more of an everyday type of item now because of how dangerous society is becoming?
Absolutely. When I first started the company back in 2015, I was the first person to openly sell military grade or better body armor online to U.S. citizens. And that demand has just been increasing exponentially. For the first 5 years, I think I was maybe a little ahead of the game. And over time, that has changed dramatically to where at this point, it's very commonplace for people to have or otherwise be seeking to have body armor at the ready. And like you say, not everybody's going to run around with it or train with it. I do recommend that if you're going to the shooting range, bring it with you for safety and train accordingly. But it is absolutely becoming much more mainstream for all the reasons you said.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. There was a, well, it's tragic. Actually, there was a shooting in a Texas church not long ago. It was the Joel Osteen Church in Houston. Mm-hmm. And according to media reports, it was another transgender shooter. I believe an illegal immigrant transgender, if I'm not mistaken, who walked into the church with a trench coat and a long rifle and a child as a human shield, and then just opened fire in the church. Now, I don't know if it's an act of God or what, but that shooter did not hurt or kill anybody, but rather two off-duty police officers who were carrying concealed opened fire and took out that shooter within seconds, saving who knows how many lives. So that's just an example of how dangerous society is becoming. You can be shot at in church these days.
No, absolutely. It's not the first time we've seen a shooting in church either.
No, not at all. And there was another transgender shooter in a school, you know, a Christian private school. What was it, like a year ago or something like that? The point is, again, it's not like you're going to go to church in your body armor. That might raise some red flags at the door. Like, what are you doing? But it's not a bad idea to have it in your vehicle. If you had to, you could get to it. If something happened wherever you are, you could get to it, you know?
Yeah, oh, absolutely. And, you know, it's not uncommon, actually, for people to bring things like the shield. This is something that you and I worked on over the last year. And this is configured such that you can put pistol mag pouches or even a pistol holster onto the shield itself.
And that's back up a little bit and show us that, because that's a shield that you can hold with your arm. It's like a forearm shield.
That's right. Yeah, this does not actually have the handles on it, but this is where they would attach.
Yeah.
And, you know, as I say, it's got the MOLLE webbing built into it, which allows for the magazines or the pistols to be put in place. And more and more, I'm hearing from people that when they go to church, they're bringing a backpack with the shield in place.
There you go.
In the event that something like what we've been discussing happens, God forbid, we certainly hope that's not the case, but more and more that does seem to be a concern.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, a normal-looking backpack with some ballistic protection inside it is not going to raise any red flags, and it's very useful, and you can, depending on the configuration, but you can switch it around into the front. You can wear the backpack on your front if you want to.
That's very true. Absolutely.
Or just depending on what you're doing. I want to ask you, though, tell us about how these are made in America, because I think people are familiar with, there's a lot of like lower end, lower cost, cheap plates that are really heavy. I've got a few of those myself, by the way, from years past. They're really heavy. They're really cheap, and they're not made in America, but that's not what your company does. So tell us about it.
Yeah, that's right. And so what you're referring to is things like steel armor. Absolutely stay away from that. Very dangerous. You've got spalling issues, which they try to mitigate with truck bed liner, and that's somewhat ineffective. But even more of a concern, a plate like that can be easily penetrated with a standard 5.56 ball round traveling at normal speeds. So we avoid all that altogether and always have. Never have or never will sell anything steel or anything made outside of the United States. Everything we sell is made right here at home. And we have two vendors, LTC, Leading Technology Composites, and also Eitan Defense out of Ohio. And essentially, These are made using polymer armor materials, sometimes in conjunction with a ceramic strike face, which helps to defeat armor-piercing rounds. And effectively, the way this is done is numerous layers of polymer armor material are laid up in a mold, hit with heat and pressure to form a cohesive plate, which is then cut to shape and affixed to the ceramic component, or finished without, depending on the application. So, and I think we've discussed this a little bit in the past, but it's good to review. A level 3 plate is an all-polymer plate, very light, buoyant, somewhat limited in its stopping power, which is where the ceramic component comes into play.
Okay, so yeah, walk us through level 3 versus level 3A and then level 4. And also, is it fair to say that even with level 4 plates, there's a trade-off where if you're willing to spend more money, you can have more exotic materials that are lighter but still have level 4 effectiveness? Or if you're on a budget, you can get a heavier level 4 material that is still effective, but you know, you're going to have to lug it around.
Yeah, no, that's very true. So you mentioned 3A, and I want to address that right away. If there's a letter in the level, it's pistol only. So level 3A is only going to protect you against pistol rounds. 3A will stop up to 44 Magnum, which is not insignificant, but most of the threats that people are facing or might logically face in the future will be rifle-rated threats.
Right, like in that church scenario. That's right. That was a rifle. I don't know what caliber that rifle was, by the way. Nobody said, but...
I didn't hear.
Who knows?
I didn't. But you got to assume AR-15 or equivalent.
Right, let's assume 5.56.
Yeah. And even if it's an AK-47, you're still going to stop it with the same plate.
And that's a 3-plus plate, correct? Let's back it up a little bit. Explain 3-plus.
Gotcha.
Because it's not an official NIJ rating, correct?
That's right. Yeah. That is correct. Yeah, the NIJ has level 3 and level 4 as it relates to rifle-rated threats. Level 3 is going to protect you against 5.56. 7.62x39, that'd be your AK-47, and your 308 in their ball round configurations. That's okay. Just a lead core round.
Right, but only ball rounds. Let me interrupt you there. So it's very common now for people to have green tip. I think it's like M855, like Lake City ammo, right? So that's not going to be stopped by level 3, correct?
That's right. And so level 4 will stop that, but the industry has also created these intermediary levels that we call level 3+ and level 3++. So in order to stop M855, you'll need a level 3++ plate, such as the 19513, which really, in my opinion, is the ideal civilian plate. It's lightweight, neutrally buoyant, and not only does it stop the M855, but it also stops the M855A1, which is the more advanced variant of that round.
Okay, well, hold on. So this is the 19513. I'm looking at it right now, and so that our audience doesn't get confused, let me go ahead and mention... the big thing we're going to announce today is that we're partnering with Hoplite Armor and we're carrying their products in our store. So if you go to healthrangerstore.com right now and you search for armor, you can see this plate. It's the Body Armor Sappy Swimmer Plate Level 3++ 19513-3-B. Is that the one you're talking about?
That's the one. Absolutely. The ideal civilian plate.
And, okay, now... say again, what makes this ideal?
Well, so with level 4, you have a significant ceramic component, which adds a good bit of weight. With level 3, it's all polymer, very lightweight, but again, it won't stop rounds like the M855. That plate in particular, the 19513, has sort of this perfect balance of polymer and ceramic. It does have the polymer backer, but it has a thinner ceramic strike face. Significant enough to stop that round, but not so much so that it adds a tremendous amount of weight, just over 5 pounds for that plate, whereas a typical equivalent level 4 might weigh 7.5 pounds.
Oh, wow. Okay, so it's much lighter than a typical level 4. Yes. I notice you're saying here it also stops M855A1. Isn't that the extra penetrator round?
Yes, it's the newer version of the M855. So M855 has something equivalent to like a pencil lead core, whereas the M855A1 actually has something that looks a little bit like a Christmas tree at the front of it, which is the steel component. And it does have significantly more penetrating power.
Okay, right. And that's, I think that's the round that you never want to shoot at your steel targets at the range because it will tear them up.
That's very true, yes. And not only that, but those rounds are expensive and hard to come by. So people shouldn't worry about that round too much. The M855 is certainly much more common.
Okay, right, exactly. And a lot of people just have ball rounds. And so, you know, stopping the ball rounds is definitely easier. So, okay, so that's the ideal balance, you say, between weight and protection. And it's not rated level four.
That's right. That's
okay. Right. A level four is going to stop things like what, 300 Win Mag or?
Yes, all of those higher caliber rounds, all the way up to 30-06 armor piercing, which is something you're not likely to ever encounter.
Hopefully not. That would be a great,
right? Yeah, I mean, that would be an elite military. Yeah, absolutely. That's a very elite military round, something that, you know, snipers would use in a wartime scenario.
Okay.
But I will say that a lot of people do opt for level four just to go with the highest level of protection. And those plates are, and I think this is important, a little bit easier to produce and to obtain inventory, et cetera. Just given the nature of that particular plate, there's a lot more of those rolling through the production line.
Okay.
Than there are the 19.513.
Now, do people typically buy these in pairs for front and back protection? Or
yes.
Yeah.
And they are sold in pairs as well as individually.
Okay. And then you also have the carriers, and we're going to be carrying some of your plate carriers, I believe, in our store as well that accept these. Now, I've often said I think it's important to have plate carriers that don't look like military tactical gear.
Right.
So is that something that you're going to be able to offer us?
Yeah, well, there's a couple different theories on that, and one of which is color, honestly.
Yeah, color.
Multicam or black definitely tends to put up a more tactical feel, and perhaps in given situations that might make a person more of a target, we'll say. Whereas coyote brown and ranger green can be much more easily disguised with your normal attire. They don't necessarily project that same threat appearance.
Uh-huh.
And for that reason, I think those are ideal. And, you know, these carriers are also very easily concealed. You can wear a windbreaker. Right.
Yeah.
So in a situation where perhaps you're dealing with a chaotic scenario, it might be a good idea to throw a windbreaker over.
Yeah, exactly. You don't want to be perceived as a threat. If you're just trying to protect yourself and your family, let's say, you don't want to project that you might be, you know, a mass shooter or something like that.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Okay. So also you've got different cuts. Could you explain the cuts? You have the sappy cuts and the swimmer's cut. What that means?
I absolutely can. Yeah. So sappy cut is your more standard configuration. And essentially what you have are two 45-degree cuts at the top. These are for relief to allow for proper movement. But the swimmer cut, as you can see, is a little steeper. And these ideally would be worn in the front and give a little bit more relief, allow for easier shouldering of your weapon. Depending on a person's build, right?
Right.
And just to give you an example, I'm 220 pounds, 6 foot tall. I actually wear a medium size swimmer plate in the front, sappy plate in the back. That way I get a little more relief in the front, a little greater mobility, easier to shoulder my weapon. But I get more coverage on the back with the sappy plate.
Yeah. Okay. Good point. I think that is the best configuration. I've found the sappy cut to be a little bit restrictive when I've worn them. The other thing I want to mention is I've noticed that a lot of people tend to wear these plates too low. And they need to bring them up because you need to cover, you know, I mean, you don't want to get shot here either. It's not just to protect your torso. It's to protect, everything. I mean, your neck area, at least the lower neck area too, right?
proper placement would be about an inch and a half below the clavicle.
Got it.
And if you're looking at it from the side, you want your back plate to sit a little bit above your chest plate.
That makes sense.
So think of it this way, if you're looking at it from the side, ideally you want your back plate to sit maybe an inch or an inch and a half higher than your chest plate. And that is a very common mistake. In fact, I see that very frequently in photos or videos of police, military, SWAT running their operations. Less so with military, but still not uncommon. A recent video I saw of Benjamin Netanyahu, I mean, he had a body armor plate carry on, but he had a huge gap at the top on the back, 6 inches at least. And so that is something to be mindful of.
Yeah.
And maybe takes a little getting used to. And so what I really recommend for people is when you get your armor, certainly size it to yourself. Take the time to fit it properly, to get a handle on how these things are supposed to be worn, and take the opportunity to wear it as often as you can. I mean, I don't necessarily recommend you wearing it to the grocery store, right. But if you're going to the shooting range, bring it there. If you're doing dry firing drills at your house, wear it while you're doing it. Any opportunity that you have.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. Like I walk my animals frequently, and I will often wear a plate for that very purpose. It's getting your body used to wearing it, and also breaking in the plate carrier. Both of those things, over time, they become a lot more comfortable. And
exactly right.
You know, the thing about Texas, where I live, is that in the summer, these can get quite hot. You know, adding a plate carrier on top of other things can get very hot. So you need to think about heat dissipation. You need to make sure that you still have places where you can sweat, your arms or legs and so on in order to dissipate heat, because it can add up.
Oh, yeah, that's very true. Absolutely. You have to take that into consideration. And that's one of the reasons why I think it's a good idea to practice wearing it, even just around the house. Get familiar with it. As you say, break it in, make it feel like it's a part of yourself, because body armor that's not worn isn't going to do you any good. And the more you wear it, the more you become comfortable with it, the more it becomes a part of you, the more easily you're going to find yourself reaching for it in a crisis situation.
And that's also a critical point. The more you practice putting it on, the faster you get at putting it on.
Very true.
And because, if you're going to keep it, let's say, by your bed or in your bedroom somewhere, and I don't know, something crazy happens. World War III starts, the invasion is on, and your neighborhood has been targeted. You need to be able to put that on in the dark, because you don't want to turn on your lights and announce, here I am. So you want to be able to put it on in the dark. You want to be able to do it quickly, and also then be able to, deploy your firearm potentially with, obviously, night sights and whatever else you have going. But you need to be able to do that automatically, even when you're drowsy you've just awakened. Make sense?
That's exactly right. Yeah, absolutely. And practice makes perfect.
Yeah, for sure. That's why, when I've done like rifle training, they just go through drills like seemingly hundreds of times. And the whole point is you don't have to think about it. Your body just does it. And you don't have to, you don't have to go through all the process. Okay. So the big announcement today again is that we are now carrying Hoplite Armor products at healthrangerstore.com. And if you go to our store, you can just search for armor, or you'll be able to find them under preparedness. By the way, we have many preparedness items there. And then we've got a selection here, including the femoral body armor plates and the groin body armor plate as well. Shoulder armor plates. Can you talk to us about these accessory plates, why they're important for some people?
Yes, absolutely. And shoulder plates in particular, right? Because the shoulder is the gateway to the heart and lungs. Lateral impacts to the deltoid can certainly make their way into the thoracic cavity, and that can be obviously life-threatening. So that's really the flagship product that I launched the company with. Initially, going back to the year 2000, I was involved in a DARPA project called Exoskeletons for Human Performance Augmentation, which gave rise to the geometry that I then drew from to create not only the shoulder plates, but the femoral plates as well. So, and the reason I think femoral plates are important is they do protect the femoral artery against front-facing threats, which is, again, a very common threat, a very, sad to say, something that has cost many men their lives.
Yeah. Oh, we just lost your video there, Lyman. But, yeah. Oh, no, it's back. I agree with you. And I do just want to add, you know, this all depends on the threat level that you think you may be facing. Obviously, everything adds weight.
Yes. And
it can become quite cumbersome putting on lots of different plates. But also, I don't know, you might live close to the border and you might be expecting an actual invasion. Or frankly, you might live in a town somewhere in Colorado that's been taken over by a bunch of illegals who are actually working for a foreign enemy and waiting for orders to go sabotage the local neighborhood or the power plant or something, right? So, I mean, it's better to be prepared than be sorry about it.
That's very true. And everything that you just mentioned, I think, is a viable threat, especially these days with wide open borders and military age men flooding over into our country unchecked. That is certainly something that causes me great concern and something that I think should, if for no other reason, that might be a motivator for people to have these sorts of things in their arsenal as something that they can draw on should they need it. Because the American middle class is the single most powerful and influential group of people that has ever existed. And quite honestly, we are what stands in the way of the globalist agenda. And so by all means, we need to reinforce and strengthen that base, that foundation that really is the lifeblood of the American dream.
Yeah, I mean, we are clearly going to have to defend our nation together against foreign invaders. And even the FBI recently briefed 300-plus sheriffs in Washington, D.C. There's a big meeting there. The FBI said it's only a matter of when, not if, there are going to be big domestic terrorism events. And you know, part of it is because of America's involvement in various conflicts around the world, which is creating a lot of hatred against America, a lot of hatred among the very people who are crossing our wide open border, by the way, in many cases. And then there are also, you know, communist threats where there may be communist agents that are intentionally planted in America. And I've seen more and more people refer to America as a war zone, an actual war zone. I mean, we saw those cops get beat up by those illegals in New York City recently. It's crazy.
It's nothing I really honestly ever expected to see. But when I started the company, it was with the idea to protect the American people against any potential threat. I felt in my heart that there were threats on the horizon. The threats that we face today supersede anything that I imagined at the time. So by all means, I feel like I'm in the right place at the right time, doing the right thing for the right people.
Absolutely. That's why we have wanted to partner with you. And I think I've been interviewing you for a couple of years now, and we have, I don't know how many thousands of our customers have your product, and I've had nothing but positive feedback about it, except for a couple of whiners. It's like, it's heavy. Well, I mean, it's not that heavy. You should buy the cheaper plates. Those are way heavier. You know,
that's true.
I mean, wearing 5 pounds on your chest is not a big deal because of how it's sort of centered in your center of gravity. You know what I mean?
That's where the multiple curves come into play too, because the more points of contact that you have on the body, the better the weight is distributed.
That's true.
And the less wear stress that you're going to feel. And that also plays into the idea of becoming acclimated to it, right? If you never wear it and all of a sudden you throw 15 pounds on, well, it feels heavy. But if you wear it, let's say if you're doing exercises at home, push-ups, pull-ups, all of a sudden that weight really starts to dissipate in terms of what you feel.
Yeah, but that's good training though. If you're doing home exercise, put on the plate, add weight while you're doing push-ups and pull-ups and sit-ups and whatever. And that's actually a really great way to train with it. It'll make you stronger.
Absolutely. I've been doing it for years.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah. Okay. So let me ask you a question that you might find a little curious, but I'm sure you've been asked this before. not that anybody should attempt to do this, obviously, because we're concerned about safety, but should someone actually be shot while wearing one of these plates, what would that feel like?
Well, you know, it's said that when you're wearing a soft armor vest and you get shot, it feels like getting hit with a ball peen hammer. I've never been shot wearing a plate, thank goodness, but the guys that I've talked to that have, you know, it feels more like a push, a heavy push. You know, sometimes it'll knock a guy down depending on the round. There's a video that was going around a few years ago of a guy standing outside an armored vehicle. He was hit with the equivalent of a 30-06 armor piercing round. It knocked him down, but he got right back up real quick. No broken bones.
Wow.
No internal injuries.
did he have to change his uniform underwear after? I mean, that would be like, you'd be praising God if you got shot with a 30-06 and you stood back up. Oh my goodness.
Yeah. Yeah. I did have one guy reach out to me. He took 3 shots from point blank range and suffered no life-threatening injuries.
Wow.
So, you know, I think at that range, it didn't feel good, especially taking 3 rounds. But as I understand it, his friends quickly dealt with the threat and he was fine to continue on with his mission. Obviously, he changed out his plate as soon as he could, which is what I recommend if your plate does take a bullet.
Yeah.
It's a good idea to replace it. Some people even go to the extent of buying extras just in case.
Right, right. That was my next question. So I do understand that these plates technically can survive multiple rounds. You just mentioned 3.
Yeah.
But with each round it takes, it further compromises its ability to sustain additional hits, correct?
That is true, yes. The NIJ requirement is 6 rounds of each of the given threats per plate in a testing scenario. That's done from a distance of about 50 feet. And typically with a 2-inch gap between each impact. So they can definitely take multiple rounds. I've even put rounds one on top of the other and seen the plate hold up and stop the threat. No problem. But absolutely, should you find yourself in a situation where the plate's taking a hit, good idea to replace it.
Yeah, that's wow. That's true. Okay, so let's talk about plates for women. Number one, I know you were at least working for some time on a special design for women. Is that something you're still working on, or what's the status?
So that is actually in development now. And essentially, it's what you might imagine, right? The back plate is universal, male or female. But we did design a plate specifically contoured to fit the female body. And that is in the early stages of development now. So I expect those to be ready sometime in the next few months. And we're currently doing that in a level 3+ configuration.
Okay.
Because of the lightweight and the buoyancy. Moving forward from there, we'll develop it into a lightweight body armor solution, which is, I know, something that a lot of your viewers are very interested in. And that is another project that we have in the works right now. And that utilizes a lighter weight ceramic. We touched on level 4 and ceramic, but what we didn't talk about is the variations in that. And so your standard ceramic, and this is maybe getting a little technical, but your standard ceramic is going to be what's called an aluminum oxide ceramic solution. Carbide provides a lighter weight and a higher performing solution. And so that is actually available already on your site with the 26300 plate. That's the lightweight level 4. But we are designing in-house a similar solution in an effort to cut costs, because those do tend to be a little pricey.
Okay, yeah. So I brought that up. That's a $3,000 plate. Is that $3,000 per plate, correct?
No, that's actually per set.
Oh, that's a set. Oh, okay. All right. Well,
yeah.
That's a relief, but it's still very expensive. But for a lot of people, but for someone where the weight really matters and money is no object, this could be a great choice. How much weight does this shave off the cheaper version?
This is going to put you into something that's even a little lighter than the 19513. So sub 5 pounds is the typical range. Let's say for a medium, whether it be a sappy or a swimmer, you're going to be under 5 pounds.
Okay, so level 4 protection, under 5 pounds.
That's right. That's right.
And now, like a cheap level 4 protection would weigh what, like 8 pounds?
A little more, maybe 8.5. The 26225, which is a single curve level 4, the least expensive level 4 plate that we have available and that's listed on your website. It's a great solution. It does its job, but it's a little heavier. And because of the ceramic that's used in that solution, it's a lower grade aluminum ceramic, which essentially restricts our ability to form that plate into anything other than a single curve. It only curves left to right. So, you know, it's a good budget solution. But if you're going to be wearing it long term, I definitely would recommend going with something like the 26605. And that right there is our most popular level 4. It's really the best of both worlds. It is an aluminum ceramic, but it's a higher grade aluminum ceramic. And with that, it also has a lightweight backer. So 7.5 pounds with a swimmer plate, I believe it's 6.8 pounds going from memory.
All right, so here it is, the 26605. This is level 4. It's $750 instead of $3,000.
Yes.
I can already tell it's thicker.
It is thicker, but part of that is a foam pad on the body side. So there's a quarter inch plus or minus thick foam pad on the body side to help mitigate the blunt force impact trauma that one might receive upon getting hit with a projectile.
Right, right. But, you know, bruises will be the least of your concern if that happens. You'd be like, thank God it's only a bruise. Okay, so, Lyman, we're out of time here for today, but is there anything you want to, you know, final thoughts for today's interview you want to leave our audience with?
Well, you know, I know that we've given everybody a lot of different technical details to think about and really to kind of cut through the fog. I'm just going to recommend the 26605 as sort of the ideal, most readily available. I know the 19513 is really sort of perfect for the American civilian, but the 26605 is one that is a little bit easier to maintain inventory on. And I suppose that's something we should talk about. Most of these things are in stock now, and everything is scheduled to be in stock at the end of the month, which is obviously a big bonus, and you won't have to worry about lead times.
Okay. All right. So, but you and I both know that the minute some kind of war event breaks out, this inventory is going to be wiped out in like 2 days. You know,
it goes quick. It does. And that's why we have large orders already in the queue to try to feed that in advance of some of these threats.
Okay. Well, thank you for creating the supply chain domestically in the United States. I think that's going to be really important given that we're facing probably world war. I mean, let's be honest, folks, things aren't looking very good out there. Keep it legal wherever you are. I believe body armor is not legal in New York State, as is my understanding. So you can't ship it there, right?
That is correct. Yes, we cannot ship it there unless someone meets the occupational requirement, military, police, or armed security.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah, that's great. All right. So anyway, folks, you know, check your local laws. That's your responsibility, but they won't be shipped to New York. But is there any other state where it's banned?
Well, Connecticut requires a face-to-face transaction. So we have a dealer in New Hampshire. We can take orders for Connecticut over the phone. You can as well. And essentially what we do in that case is what the people pay online serves as a deposit. We send our dealer from New Hampshire to make the delivery face-to-face to meet the requirement of that law.
I see.
And then there's a small $50 fee to cover his time and expense.
Oh, okay. Wow, that's interesting. So it has to be like home delivered.
Yeah, isn't that something?
Yeah. That's Connecticut
legal requirement.
Yeah. Okay.
And more and more, we see states enacting laws that are restricting civilian ownership. However, in many cases, even with California, they tried And they wrote into the law a grandfather clause. So my recommendation there is get it while you can, I suppose.
No kidding.
Because if your state makes it illegal, they will likely have a grandfather clause. And then you have no legal concerns.
A grandfather clause meaning that if you already own it, you can keep it. But
that's right.
You won't be allowed to buy new at that point.
That's exactly right.
Wow. All right. Well, thank you, Lyman, for your time today and for all that you're doing. We really appreciate your designs. You are saving people's lives. That's the bottom line. Your products are saving lives.
Well, it's a labor of love. It's something I felt called to do. And like I said, I was a little ahead of the curve there, but I can see now that this is something that's going to be in demand for the duration.
Yeah, I'm sure that's the case. And I would imagine there's a lot of Texas law enforcement watching this right now that are hoping they could get some of your plates. This pin I have was given to me by a retired Texas Ranger. So it's a Texas Ranger pin and a Texas flag pin, just to recognize what we're doing here at Brighteon to help try to restore the rule of law in Texas. And there are some, Texas, there's some very good sheriffs and deputies in Texas who are working to protect this state.
And there's some Texas Rangers that already have hoplite armor shoulder plates.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure that's the case. I mean, Texas Rangers are getting it done right now. That is a crew you do not want to mess with. The cartels fear the Texas Rangers, let me tell you.
I believe that. I do, yeah.
Yep.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, thank you, Lyman. Thank you for your time today. Thank you for all that you do.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Okay. Take care. So again, folks, the big announcement today is we are now carrying Hoplite Armor products at healthrangerstore.com. If you want to take advantage of those, of course, there are restrictions. We can't ship to New York. And he just mentioned the situation in Connecticut. Everywhere else, it seems that it's legal to ship to you. But be sure to check your local laws and act with common sense about where you're going to, put on body armor. Going to a firearms training range seems perfectly acceptable, but you don't want to just slap on body armor and walk into a mall or something. You're probably going to have an encounter with law enforcement pretty quickly in that scenario. So just exercise some common sense, folks. Thank you for watching today. I'm Mike Adams here, the founder of Brighteon.com. Take care. I want to show you what we have put together here in terms of our really popular now wheat-free certified organic lab tested macaroni and cheese meal mixes. I've got them on my desk here. The way we sell them, it's in a mini bucket format. You see the bottom ones there. And inside each bucket are three of these packs right here, which is, vacuum packed. It's nitrogen flooded and then vacuumed in a very rugged, long-term stable bag. This is wheat free. It's made out of amaranth as well as quinoa. And so this holds its shape and texture and taste really great. It's not like gritty and mushy like whole wheat macaroni tends to be. So we have this, and then this is a cheese pack that's also very durable, rugged packing. And this, no garbage, no artificial colors, no fillers, nothing like that. And in the cheese pack are very simple certified organic ingredients. Check it out. Organic white cheddar powder. Organic heavy cream powder, organic butter powder, organic whey protein powder, organic onion powder, and organic black pepper powder. And that's it, folks. There's no fillers, no artificial flavors, no artificial colors. I mean, no colors of any kind actually in it. And it's very easy to make. It's extremely delicious. Now, it does not have any salt added. We did that on purpose because we wanted people to be able to salt it according to your own taste. So for those having a low sodium diet, you can easily incorporate this. I mean, check the nutrition facts label. It still does have sodium naturally in the cheese, but we did not add any salt. So it can be incorporated into a low sodium diet if that's something that you're paying attention to. For the rest of us, I add salt to this, by the way, and I don't normally add salt to anything, but this is so low in the salt because we didn't add any salt to the recipe that I think you actually have to add a little bit of salt to bring out the flavor and make it tastes really delicious. And then it does when you add a little bit of salt to it. So this is all you got to do is boil water. You boil the elbows for 5 to 10 minutes, and then you add in the cheese powder, you stir it in, you're done. And it's super delicious. This is a really great preparedness meal. I think you'll really love this. We also have, this is very popular. It is an organic banana, peanut butter, and chocolate instant superfood shake. Now, this product, which is available in various quantities, if you go to our store, you can just buy, you know, one canister, or you can buy them in groups. This also is very delicious, but very simple. Look at the ingredients. Organic whey protein powder, banana powder, also organic, peanut butter powder, cocoa powder, coconut sugar, which is a low glycemic sweetener. And that's it, folks. It's all organic. It's laboratory certified. It's super delicious. It blends with water or other kinds of milks. You know, it could be a nut milk or cow's milk or whatever you want. It's delicious, hot or cold. And it's incredibly nutritious and very clean because we do all the testing. So these are two relatively new products, well, brand new actually, that are in stock right now, at least at the moment, and will probably be sold out of them pretty quickly, but we'll make more. It just takes time to source all these ingredients. It took us many months to get the cheddar cheese powder and the organic cream powder, the butter powder, and the whey. I mean, frankly, all the animal products are taking a very long time to get sourced right now, but we're doing the best we can. We have these available, super delicious. And this is just the first of many kind of instant meals that we're formulating right now. So macaroni and cheese is one of many that we'll have soon. We're going to have different kind of soups, like a lentil soup and also an organic chili product. And they're all going to be based on the same kind of philosophy. Clean, simple, lab-tested ingredients with no artificial anything whatsoever, and also very lower sodium compared to what's typically out there. Because I don't know about you, but I don't want to just eat a bunch of salt and MSG. You know, that's what a lot of storable food is, just a bunch of salt and sugar and MSG and textured vegetable protein garbage. And we're not into that, not at all. This is real food, real nutrition, real taste, and it's available right now at healthrangerstore.com. Just go there. You can search for peanut butter to find our chocolate banana peanut butter shake. Or if you want the macaroni and cheese, just go to healthrangerstore.com and search for the organic wheat-free macaroni and cheese with no salt added. Or check out our hundreds of other products, such as, like, you can look at herbs right here. All these different categories, different herbs and tinctures. We have garden seeds. We have superfoods. We have personal care products. Here we have organic turmeric gold extract. We have the knives, the Dawson knives. I've co-designed these with Dawson knives. You probably heard about these. This is under preparedness, survival gear. We've got, well, let me just show you. We've got all the different knives right here made of the corrosion-resistant MagnaCut alloy. Mass ratio is one, very popular. That's back in stock now. Consequences covert knife. And more. We've got other knives available, including Escape from LA. Hey, I wonder, is that sold out? Hard to keep in stock. But check it all out at healthrangerstore.com. This is how you can support us. And then we give back to you in a multitude of ways, with knowledge, with empowerment, with the large language model we're going to be giving away here soon, coming up end of March, with all the interviews and all the things that we do. Plus, we just made a $100,000 donation to Convoy of Hope of non-GMO vitamin C. So when we are able to, we buy an extra large batch of raw materials, and then we use our in-house manufacturing and testing, and we will overproduce certain batches, knowing that we can use Convoy of Hope to distribute them to people in need. And that it's a Christian-based ministry that distributes food and supplements. And we've worked with them several times now, and just the other day, $100,000 worth of vitamin C. So that's going out into the hands of people in need across America. Sometimes they distribute to other nations, but they focus on the United States of America. And we will continue to support people in need anywhere that we can. Remember that our slogan is Health Ranger Store, healing the world with clean food. That's our philosophy. That's what we practice. That's what we preach. That's what we do. We do the lab testing. We manufacture clean, simple ingredients that are authentic and pure and tasty. It's like nothing else that you've ever seen in the processed food industry or the processed storable food industry. And a lot of the survival food out there is just heavily processed garbage. I'm sorry to say, that's just honest truth of what it is. You want real food? Come to healthrangerstore.com. Thank you for your support. I'm Mike Adams, the founder of Brightown.com and the Health Ranger Store. Take care.